Katrina, we've seen Harvey, we've seen Irma, and we've seen how they have escape routes. You've seen the traffic, you know, and the roads covered with vehicles, people escaping the storm. We also seen in Harvey, for instance, in Texas, where some people didn't have flood insurance because they never thought a flood would come as far as where they were living. So they didn't have to have it. You know what it was no government told them they had to have it. Yeah. They were waiting for the government to tell them what to do. And in the midst of that, I guarantee you this, if they knew what was coming, they would have bought insurance before it happened. Amen? God is saying to us, there's a storm coming. Get ready. Make sure you have your insurance in place. Because what you thought would never happen will happen. What you have not prepared for will overtake you. Hallelujah. But it's not fear that you need to have. It needs to be faith. You need to do what God instructs you to do, and you never have to fear again. Amen? But people don't understand. God is not just sitting on the sideline watching helplessly when all these things are going on in the world. Just in 2017 alone, over 5,000 people have been killed by terrorist attacks. Just in 2017. Think about that. Oh, that'll never happen around us. Again, I'm not trying to instill fear. I'm trying to get you to realize that we live in a very dangerous world. There are things happening now that's never happened like it before. They said that flood in Texas was a 1,000-year flood. Don't you know that God knew that was going to happen? I was watching in news about in Irma coming up through Florida. And you heard the news report. Everybody get out. You're going to die. If you don't leave, you're going to die. It's a killer storm. It's coming our way. They talked to one guy. And they said to him, are you getting out? He said, no. Why not? You heard what the governor said. You heard what the government said. And all these people are saying, you know, it's a killer. You got to get out. Oh, no. So why aren't you leaving? He said, well, when I built my house, I built it to withstand a Category 5 hurricane. You know what he did? He prepared for the worst case scenario. He didn't just do enough to get by. People who get born again to escape hell are trying to do just enough to get by. Amen? God is saying, no. Listen, you got to go beyond just enough. You got to do more than enough. If you're going to be ready for the storm that's coming, and it doesn't, you know, at the moment you think to yourself, everything, we got a beautiful sunny day, let's go out and do our thing. You know, we can go to church next week. It doesn't matter what we do. Then when something happens, they go, but God, how could you allow this to happen? God said, I didn't. You did, because you didn't prepare for it, because it was a sunny day. It was a beautiful Sunday. There's so many things to do out in the world that I haven't got time for the kingdom. And so what do? We continue to go our merry way. And when the rock falls on our head, we wonder how it's possible God would allow this to happen. And God has been saying right along, I have given you the ability, the power to stand and withstand. Matter of fact, I've given you the authority and the power to speak to storms and calm them. But we haven't prepared for the coming storm. And when it comes, we're so they hide, hoping that somehow it'll just get by. I know because I've been in them. And I know my reactions, and I know what I've done. And I hadn't prepared. It almost crushed me, almost killed me. I almost quit. I almost just got out and said, enough's enough. I hadn't prepared for the worst case scenario of what was coming. I thought, I can remember, and I've told you this before, I can remember being, you know, first time when we started pastoring, and the church was just flowing with overflow. We didn't have enough chairs to put out for people. We had over 160 people coming all the time into the church. On Tuesday nights, we had 60 to 80 people coming to church. Prayer meetings filled. And I remember sitting there thinking to myself, why does everybody talk about how difficult this is? This is so easy. I said, I'm not going to be like those guys. You know, they're having all kinds. This is simple. And it was, because I didn't do any of it. But came a time when God said, now it's time to grow up. I've taken care of you as a baby. Now I want you to become my son. It's time to grow up. And it hurts growing up. When you can't whine and complain and murmur and do all the things you want to do and blame everybody else for what's going on in my life. It's all your fault. If you'd all fill the chairs, I'd be happy. Not true. It's got nothing to do with anybody but me and my Father. And I have to recognize that. As we all must. Stop blaming others. You don't like what you hear. You don't like what you see. You don't like the way they talk. You don't like the way they act. You don't like all this and all that. There's always going to be somebody somewhere who's going to bother you. Unless you're dead. Oh, that's right. He told us to die daily, didn't he? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that part. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So God gave us a way. He said, storms are coming. Amen. Go with me into Mark 11. We're going to start there. Last week we talked about the storms coming and we made examples. Here we are in Mark 11. We're going to start in I'm in the wrong scripture. Why don't you go into Matthew 7. Thank you. I apologize for that. Mark 4 is one of the places we might go. And that was the storm where the disciples were in the boat and Jesus was asleep at the back of the boat. Amen. Can you imagine this? Somebody's going through a storm that you know and you're kind of just relaxed and at peace and sitting back. And they look at you and say, don't you care what I'm going through? Well, they're right there too. But they're at peace. How can one be at peace and the other be in a mess? Hallelujah. Hopefully we find the answers. You ready? Therefore, verse 24. Therefore means wherefore. In other words, if he starts with therefore, he's speaking about something before that. All right, so you look at therefore and you say, okay, therefore came out of what? Well, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It started in chapter 5, worked its way to this point. Now, of all the things he talked about, he started in chapter 5 talking about blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who are meek, they shall inherit the earth, and so on. And he started with blessings. Now, you would think starting with blessing, he wouldn't end with a warning. He started with the blessings, and he talked about what it means to be a servant or a child of God living in the kingdom of God. Amen? Now he's at the end of his discourse. He's at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. And this is the last part of it. He said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, How many have ears to hear?
Amen.
Amen. Get in to read what he's talking about before that. Go to the first five chapters. Now, these are people. He said, those who, listen what he said. Those who, whoever hears, whoever, that means some people aren't listening. These sayings of mine, they can sit and hear, but they don't listen. They can hear the words coming at them, but they never receive the word given. Jesus was trying to get them to listen, to hear and listen. He said, listen, and what? Does them. You can't just be a hearer of the word, but you got to be a doer of the word. So here's the first part of this whole discourse at the end, is he's saying to you, you got to hear what I'm saying. That means you got to go back and find out what he's talking about. Don't just ignore it. Don't set it aside. Because remember what we're talking about. We're talking about preparing for the storm coming. You understand? We're preparing for the storm. So he's trying to say, listen, if you want to be prepared for the storm, you've got to know what I said before. And not only do you have to know what I said, but you've got to do what I say. That leaves how many out now? I mean, everybody knows. You know yourself. You know right in your heart right now. Whether you know in your heart whether you want to do what God says or not. Amen? You already know. As I know for myself. You ready? I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rock is who? Jesus Christ. Not only on him, but on what he said and what we do. You can dig down to the rock, and it takes, that's the thing about, and he's talking about the sand in a minute. Sand is easy. But rock, it means you've got to do some digging. Digging in the word. Not just to learn facts, because facts, unless they're put to good use, are useless. The only time facts become reality is when they become part of who we are. Amen? We can talk about Jesus all day long. The devil talks about him every moment of every day. He whispers about Jesus in people's ears. I said, oh, you're fine. Don't worry about it. God loves you. You're all right. Grace is sufficient. The blood has cleansed you. You're fine. Go live your life the way you want. That's what he says to him. But if you don't know what Jesus said, how can you discern the difference? How can you realize, wait a minute, that's not what he said. But we do. Why? Because it's easier to build our life on sand than to have to dig to the rock. It's much easier to believe, you go and you tell me what he said. So what do? We search out people who will tickle our ears, make us feel comfortable. And if I don't like what you're saying, I'm going to go someplace else till I find where I get what I want. Not what I need. Digging down to the rock takes effort. Takes time. It's costly. You're going to have to give up some things. You're going to have to get more in time with him. You're going to have to start searching things out in the scriptures. You're going to have to. Well, I never really could read. You never had the Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit. He's your teacher. Do you think that he would let you read the word of God, our Heavenly Father, and not bring understanding to you? Of course he wouldn't do that. Why would he waste your time by giving you the Bible and then tell you, well, you're never going to understand it anyways? Ooh, that sounds like somebody who told the people that. You have it. And where is it, Lord? Hallelujah. Give it to me, Father. No, that's not it. I'll have to find it. I'll get it. I know the scripture I'm looking for. So he said, listen to this. He said, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house or his life on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. It did not fall away from Christ. It did not fall away from their stance of faith and trust in God. They confessed it. They believed it. They confessed it. They believed it. They confessed it. They believed it. They never doubted for a minute that God was going to deliver them out of this. Never. And they didn't look for plan B. They didn't look for a way out on their own. They wait to be delivered by God. You know how many people got already plan B set in motion in case God doesn't show up? How are we having fun yet? Listen to this. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. Well, let me back up one second. I went too far, too quick. I want you to notice something. He did not say, if it rains. He said, when it rains. And he's saying to you, it's coming. There's a storm coming. You might be in it right now. You might have just got out of it. And you might not have been in it for a long time. But there's one coming. Back up to where we were. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. I read somewhere that word foolish, in the Hebrew, I think it is, or Greek, I think it is moros, M-O-R-O-S, where we get our word moron from. And he said what he's saying there, it's a stupid moron who doesn't build it on a rock. I didn't say that. I said that's what I read. But it's pretty moronic, isn't it? If you go to build your house and you don't worry about the foundation or what it's sitting on, and you just build because it looked good, the first wind that comes along and blows it over, you sit there and shake your head and, what happened? Nobody but a moron would build that. Right? And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Hallelujah. Great was its fall. Building it on the rock. The rock is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. You build your life on the Word of God, and it takes effort to dig to it. As I said earlier, you can have a lot of facts, but if you put the facts into usefulness, it becomes uselessness. So you can know He's Jesus, and He is, and you can be saved, and still not build your life on the fact of the Word of God. So how do we go about doing these things? I gave you some already. Go with me into Proverbs 3. No, wait a minute. Go first into 2 Kings 18. Go to 2 Kings 18 first. I want you to see, God gives us a great example of building it on the rock. This is in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant, and yet still the same God, the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit working. Amen? The same. God said, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. We have a better covenant because we have the last sacrifice that was ever needed, and that was Jesus Christ of Nazareth for our sins. But having that sacrifice and having our sins removed far from us as far as the east is from the west. Having our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life does not guarantee that you will be prepared for a storm that's coming. It just means guaranteed to go to heaven. In the temple, there was three places, three areas. The outside, which was where the Gentiles and those who weren't Jewish could walk. Anybody could be out there. Then there was the holy place. The holy place where the priest could go into. They go in and perform their works every day, doing the sacrifices, doing all that stuff. Then there was the third place, called the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest was allowed to go in there once a year to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat for covering, not for forgiveness, but for covering the sins of the nation. For a Christian, before you came, you could come to church and sit in church and still not be saved. You could get saved and perform all the rituals of being a Christian, but still never enter into the Holy of Holies. Never get into a place where you truly understand and know God. And thank you, Lord. Psalm 107, I think it is. He just gave me that. I think that's it. Let me see, hopefully. That's where I want to go. Hallelujah. Hang on a second. Come on, Lord. You gave me Psalm 107. I'm looking. No, that's a good one, though. All right, I'll find it. Yeah. But it's not the scripture I'm looking for, but the whole script, the whole psalm is great for dealing with storms. But it's not where I want to go. I'll find it. I'm not done yet. God isn't done yet. I love what God does. He shows me things and tells me things, and then, yep, there it is. I was wrong. That's a different one. We might go back to 107 in a minute. Proverbs, let's go there. 24, that's where I messed up. Listen to what he says here. I'm going to start in verse 1. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Listen to this. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. So in other words, the wisdom of God reveals to us the need for salvation through Christ alone. But then in order to establish the house, that means put it in permanently, get it built on that rock, you're going to have to get understanding. You have to learn how and why God does what he does and why he asks you to do what he asks you to do. Because if you don't understand it, you will not live it. You only live it when you start understanding how it benefits you and the kingdom of God. If you don't, I always say it this way, people will only extend themselves to the degree that they find value in what they're going after. If you find no value in it, you won't do it. Right? If you find no value in it, you won't do it. So understanding produces value in you. You start to understand why God instructs us this way and tells us to do this. Once you understand it, you know God's ways and you know His purposes. Then all of a sudden you start doing it, and all of a sudden you start seeing the value in it, the blessings that come with it. But if you don't see those, you won't do them. So you'll never be established. You'll always be pushed around by every wind of doctrine that comes along. You'll always be looking other ways to satisfy your life rather than find it in Christ. Hallelujah. Back to 2 Kings. How do we establish it? With understanding. Okay, how do we get there? Look in 2 Kings 18. This is a story about Hezekiah. Remember King Hezekiah? Hezekiah was a good king. He messed up, but he's a good king. Hezekiah was king over Judah. And all around him, the kingdoms were being taken over by a force coming at them. Syria. Listen. Let's start in verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, and so on and so forth. I'm going to stop. Let's go down here. He said he was, meaning Hezekiah, was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. Go down to 3. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden images, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nashutun, whatever that is. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. He tore down everything that was against God. They built up the high places. Instead of worshiping in Jerusalem where they were called to worship at the temple, they built places up on top to idols and different demons and gods. He tore them down. Images that were, they were warned and told not to create these images, they worshiped them in their homes. They put these idols in their homes. He tore all those things down. He got rid of everything that went against God's commandments. How are you going to build your house on a rock? You're going to have to stand and get rid of everything that goes against God. To the degree you're willing to sacrifice that will be the degree by which you stand on the rock. He was surrounded by the enemy. They came and told him, hey, we're going to take over. You might as well just give up now and come on out. They were under a total battle confrontation. And they were being surrounded so that they were getting to a place where there would be no food and no water. They were trying to bring them into submission any way they could. And they stood out there day after day yelling at them and telling them what they were going to do to them. Matter of fact, it got so bad, they were speaking in Hebrew, and they asked him, they said, listen, how about doing this? The elders of the place, they said, don't talk to us in Hebrew, but talk to us. And he gave them another language. Because we don't want the people to hear all that you're saying, because you're going to bring fear into their life. They didn't listen, they continued. How many of you know that the whisperer is always whispering to you what they're going to do to you? The banks call up and say, we're going to take everything you've got. Doctors tell you you're going to die. All these things going on around us, people talking about you, rejecting you, tearing you down, making you feel like you're never going to get out of this thing, what's going on in your life. How many of you know God's got a way? The good news about Hezekiah was he got nervous, don't get me wrong. He did a lot of things wrong. But he did as God commanded him to do. Jesus said, if you hear and do what I tell you to do. He did what he knew to do, everything he knew to do. And so when the enemy was all around him and he was about ready to lose everything, what did he do? He went to the man of God. Went to Elijah and said, hey, here's what he said he's going to do to us. And what did Elijah say? Listen to this. Hang on. Hallelujah. Then Isaiah said, the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Somebody stood up and said, thus saith the Lord. You can't stop storms unless you know what God said. You can't stand in the midst of battle unless you know what God says. And you don't need somebody to go for you. God says you can come on your own. You can come on your own. You don't have to ask for a man of God. You go on your own. Go to God. But this is what it's going to cost. It's going to cost time for you. We're doing a great message on Wednesdays about the purpose of prayer. He gave an example. He said, when Jesus, you know, the disciples were watching Jesus, been with him for 3.5 years, watching him, they noticed something about him. When he went out to pray for people, they instantly were delivered or they were healed. And they were wondering about it. How is this possible? So they watched Jesus. And he said they came to the conclusion that Jesus did something. He spent a lot of time with God the Father. He said he'd spend 3 hours in prayer every morning with God. And he said he spent 1 minute or 3 minutes praying for people. They didn't ask him, teach us how to lay hands on the sick or to cast out demons or raise the dead. They never prayed and said, Jesus, show us what to do. What they did say was, show us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. That's what they asked him to do. Because they realized his time with the Father is what enabled him to do what he was doing. It was his time with the Father that enabled him to be asleep in the midst of the storm when everybody else was crying out. It was his time with the Father when they tried to throw him off a cliff that he was able to walk right through the midst of them and walk away. It was his time with the Father that he knew that it was now the day that God called him for the sacrifice and to fulfill his purpose. See, you're not going to know anything like this. None of us will. None of us. We only know in reality, in truth, what the Father reveals to us. But when we give just a passing account, a passing time, we're so busy with life. We got so many things going on in our lives, and we don't give them time. So the storm comes, and everybody runs around looking for a generator. I need something because things are falling apart here. If a storm was coming, I would prefer to have everything in place, not run around looking for things. I built my house on the rock. I said this to you before, when I was laying in the ambulance, and I had gone and died, and I woke, they got me back, and the first thing that came to my mind was, now listen to this. I said, Lord, if it's my time, forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. It was after the fact I did that. It should have been before the fact that I did that. You understand what I'm saying to you? Don't wait till you have a heart attack to then repent. Repent on a daily basis. Keep your life right with him on a daily basis, if necessary, minute by minute, if necessary, because you don't know what the next minute's bringing. You don't know. I didn't know. You never know. You don't think that's right. When they gave me that, report you got cancer. I never thought I was having cancer. I never thought anything like that. You have to be ready. Storms are coming. We're not fearful for our lives. You understand that? The fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. God is the only one who can kill your body and send your soul to hell. Nobody else can do that. Amen? So we have to be ready. So God spoke by the man of God. The man of God had been spending time with God the Father. Why couldn't the rest of them said it and heard that same thing? Why was he called the man of God? Why did Moses hear from God and the rest of the people didn't? They spent time with him. Spent time with him. We can make all the excuses in the world, but I believe in Jesus. I know he's the Son of God. I know he died for me. I know all that. Yeah. So does the devil know all that. You have to spend time with him. The more time you spend with him, the more you get to know him, the more you recognize his voice. And when something is coming your way, he warns you, because he already said that the Holy Spirit will warn you of things to come. He'll tell you about them. You won't be caught unaware. You will not be caught flat-footed if you would. God will have already warned you and showed you. Get ready. There's a storm coming. I'm telling you. There's a storm coming. You can ignore it and you can say, oh, you're just a downer. You talk. Not. This isn't a downer. It's to build you up so that you are building your life on the rock of Jesus Christ, not on whatever's going on in the world out here, what they say or don't say. I make my decisions based on the Word of God, hopefully, prayerfully, and I'm not saying I'm perfect at that, but that's my goal. Not on what the government says or doesn't say, what they allow me to do or not allow me to do, not any of that stuff. You can say all you want. Well, I would say that or I would do that, but what? Did God tell you to do it? Did God tell you to say it? Did God tell you where to go and what to do? Then do it. Yeah, but people are going to be mad at me. Yeah, they are. Truth. Nobody likes truth. They want to lie. Listen what God spoke. Isaiah, he said this. Verse 34 of chapter 19 says, "For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." There's coming a storm in our lives, and God says, "I will defend you, not for you, but for me and my son's sake, for Jesus' sake." You bring no glory to our Heavenly Father. You are not the light of the world if you are constantly under darkness. God is ready, willing, not only to defend you, but to deliver you, to provide for you, to bless you. But if you haven't prepared, if you haven't got ready, go with me to Psalms 91. This psalm most people believe that Moses wrote it. Came out of Moses. And most people believed that it was after when Caleb and Joshua had stood up and said, "God will." And the rest of the people said, "He won't." I want to just take you through some of this. I may not do the whole thing, but I want to take you through some of it. And I want you to see in your life in you if this is operating right now. Because again, like the armor of God, it should be put on daily. That isn't just for when you go to battle. It's being prepared for battle. It's prepared for the storm of life coming. It's not just something you do in emergency. Oh, look, I forgot. Somebody said to me the other day that before they leave the house, they put on the armor of God. Every day. Because they go into a very stressful situation at work. Bad situation. I'm going to give their a little bit of testimony they gave me, if you don't mind. Works with people who are going through a difficult time in life and so on. And they're not always in their right mind and so on, and because of situations and different things. And said that one day they were at work, they were there, and there was this ruckus going on, and so got up and walked over to this other person who was causing the ruckus, laid their hand on her, on that person, and quieted right down. Quieted right down. Somebody came along and said, "You can't be out here with all this going on. Get out of here." They had to leave. Started right up again. Why? Why? They had prepared for this time. They don't understand what's coming on. You don't know every day what's coming this your way. You just don't know. But there's something about when a child of God who's been in the presence of God and spending time with Him comes out and lays a hand on a situation, that something just happens, just changes things. How can you know if you've been with someone who's been there? Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with the Father. How do we know that? Something about them. Their countenance is a little different. They have a smile almost always. Like they got a secret that other people don't know. Yeah, I just spent time with God. Do you think God's going to let you spend time with Him without sharing some of His secrets with you? Not always do you tell those secrets. There's a time and a place for everything where God's concerned. But there's something special about it. They got a joy, they got a peace, they got a love, and it comes out of them. As much as they spiritual leaders were against Jesus, they couldn't deny that He spent time with the Father. So one thing they couldn't deny. Matter of fact, Nicodemus got there and said, "We know that God is with you because you couldn't do all these things that's going on in your life except God was with him." There's something about it. You'll find out. The more you spend time with Him, the more it's revealed in your life. Look what He said in Psalm 91. First scripture. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High." Notice something here. All these promises He's bringing are only for those who spend time in the secret place with God. It's not for everybody. You understand? And know this. He said, those who dwell. That means their dwelling is on the rock. Jesus said, those who abide in me, and my word abides in them, shall ask the Father anything, and He'll do it. See, it's not a visitor that's going to see this. Somebody who comes and goes as they feel led. Maybe they'll rush in there at the time when the storm starts coming. They'll run in there and say, "Got to get in there now." No, that's time who people who spend time there. That is their home. It's stick there for a moment. I want to take you to something else in Proverbs 3. Keep your finger there because we're going back there. Listen to this. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Why? Because that's who your heavenly Father is. Mercy, peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives it. Look what he says. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Amen? Here's the problem. What we need to do, we got to think about that. Okay, I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I see the situation. I see the storm. So I can do natural things to prepare for it. But he's saying, look, there's a supernatural part of everything. If there wasn't, Jesus couldn't have stilled the storm. We got to understand that God is everywhere. And that storm wasn't from God, otherwise Jesus never would have calmed it. But there's always a spiritual part of everything that's going on. I'll take you to Matthew 4 or Mark 4 if we get a chance on this message. Show you something. Listen to this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. In all your ways, what do you mean? When you sit down to eat, make sure you give Him thanks. When you get up to go out, make sure you pray over your vehicle to acknowledge that you need His protection and His guidance. When you're not sure which way to turn or what to do, go to Him and ask for wisdom. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Yeah, well, my way isn't so great right now. That's the best time to acknowledge Him. Because He can deliver you out of that. He can bring, there's fruit where it looks fruitless. Where the tree looks like it's barren, God can make it grow. Just like He can curse it and kill it, He can speak to it. How do you think Adam and Eve worked the garden? God put them in the garden to tend it, right? How big do you think that garden was? Do you think He had time to mow the lawn? No. He spoke to that. It was like God. What did God do? He spoke and it came into existence. Adam and Eve had the power to speak life or death. You have the power to speak life or death in a situation. When the storm is coming and you have been with the Father and the Father said there's a storm coming and you say, okay, thank you, Father. Tell me what to say. Mm-hmm. Get out of His presence. When the storm hits, you speak to it and command it to be still. And if you do that, not only will you see the goodness of God in the land of the living, but you will help others see the goodness of God. You've got loved ones who are unsaved. When you start speaking against these things and speak life to things, they're going to see it and they're going to wonder at you. How did you know that? How did you do that? When you're coming up and they say, here's what's coming. And you say, Father, what do I do? Father says this. Now listen, you don't go to Him just for that answer. You've been with Him. Jesus was with Him all. Well, you know, He'd get up early in the morning. Sometimes late at night He'd be in prayer. And the more time He spent with them, Jesus said, Father, I know that You hear me always, but I say this for them. You, when you get to that place and you say, Father, I know You hear me always. I've been abiding in Christ, and Christ's word is abiding in me, and I can ask You for anything, and I know You're going to give it to me. Thank You. Not running in there when you have a need. You're living there. You know when the best service we're ever going to have in this church? If we can get everybody abiding in Christ for the week and coming here. because on you will be the glory of the living God. When Jesus spent time with the Father, what happened? He came down off the mountain. He was glowing. Moses spent time with God. What happened? He came out of the mountain. He was glowing. You spend time with God, you glow. And you bring that in here, it'll change everything. It'll change everything. But the good news is, it begins with you. It changes you first. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You ever get the idea he's trying to instruct us what to do when storms of life come our way? Honor the Lord. Listen to me. When you spend time with God, and you spend enough time with God, you get the mind of Christ. And you don't have to run to him and ask what to do. You'll know. You'll know. Because you've got the mind of Christ. What did he say? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you spend time with Christ? The Word. How do you spend time with Christ? Prayer. Not doesn't always have to be prayer in church. Spend your time at home with him. Spend your time in the car with him. You got a moment? Spend your time. Turn the radio off. Turn the TV off. Spend time. Just talk to him. Just listen. Say, Father, I'm here. First thing you do is say, Father, forgive me. I haven't spent enough time with you. Because that's for all of us. I just want to spend time with you. Quality time with you. 5 minutes of quality time with God is much better than 5 hours here just sitting and listening to me. I'm serious. My goal is not to get you to come here and listen to me. My goal is that you would spend time with Jesus and spend time in your prayer closet with him, spend time alone with him. And when you come in here, you'll bring something we don't got. The very presence of Almighty God. And when he walks through that door, you walk through it with the attitude, I was just time with my Father, and he's got something to tell you. Amen? That's the deal. That's what we need. That's what we crave, for people to spend time with our Father and come and talk to us and tell us what he said. That's the church operating. That's a body of Christ functioning in power, in grace, in love, and mercy. You can't walk in love unless you spend time with the one who is love. You can read all day long in there, and it doesn't matter to you until you spend time with the one who is love. Then you understand what love is. Because in all your mess, he still loves you. And you don't get it from this kid. You get it from him. He tells you, I love you. Yo, I know who I am. You can't convince me otherwise. You build your life on the rock of Jesus Christ. That life is hidden in him. You see me, you see Jesus. Oh, how dare you say that? Well, Jesus said it. You see me, you see the Father. Amen? Isn't that the way we're supposed to be? Representing the Master? The apostles walked. They recognized it. Look, it wasn't me who did this. It was faith in that name. In that name and faith in that name, he said. They were with Jesus. Paul wrote 2/3 of this New Testament. And he got it all from Jesus. He didn't get it from any man. He spent time with him. They say it was about 3 years he spent with him. And Jesus told him what to say and what to write. Wow. What do you think he'd tell you guys? All of us here. Don't you know he wants to talk to you? He wants to tell you things to come. He wants to tell you things, words to speak to us, to encourage us. We need that. I love it when somebody stands up and says, thus saith the Lord. And I know that they had to have got it from God because they didn't get it out of their own thoughts, their own spirit. They actually stood up. And everybody here, those who spend time with him, they won't come in here looking for something. They'll come in here to give something. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It'd be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Hallelujah. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Whatever it is, give him the glory. He who dwells in the Most High, those who do spend time with him, those who spend time with him, those who spend time with him, that's who he's talking to here. And these promises are for them, because there's a storm coming. And this here, this is what Moses was saying. Hey, guys. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Psalms 107, that's where I was before, he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. Amen. I built my life on the rock. And God put a refuge and a fortress all around me. Just like with Job, when the devil couldn't get to him, God will do it for us. To put a protection around us. For those who spend time with him. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. The snare of the fowler is a devil, this deceitful, lying people. You'll have discernment. You'll know the difference between truth and a lie. You'll know one who's trying to coerce you into doing things that go contrary to the Word of God, because you had just spent time with the Father. And you protect that. I don't care who it's from. Because once you spend time with him and you're in his presence, there's nothing else. Nothing else in comparison. Nothing. You get so bold. You know, Moses came down off the mountain and the children of Israel had been playing. They built a golden calf. Remember all that? And God was a little upset. He said, I'm going to snuff them out. But Moses had just come down off the mountain. He had been spending time with him. He knew who his father was. And he boldly said to him, don't do it. Because how can you then be called a loving God and brought them out of here? This is what people are saying. You're a loving God. Then they're going to say you brought them out here for them to die. He actually stood in the gap and he said, listen, if you're going to deal with them in that fashion, you might as well deal with me the same way. How could he boldly say that? Because he spends time with them. When you spend time with your Heavenly Father and you've got the mind of Christ, there's going to be boldness in you. That you can stand in the gap and intercede for people like nobody else. Because you know the difference between truth and a lie. And you can't be deceived. Hallelujah. How are we doing? Glory to God. Verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under your wings he shall take refuge. In other words, you're going to, God himself is going to cover you. You never have to fear again. Never again. You're not going to be afraid of no finances. You're never going to have to be afraid of no food or no clothing. You're not going to have to be afraid of no housing. None of that stuff. God's going to cover you. What's that mean? Nobody can find you, including the devil. You're covered with his feathers. The only time you come out from underneath is when God tells you to go do something. Oh, then what happens? Oh, that's right. He sends his angels with you. Keep charge over you. Matter of fact, they were sent to help you to fulfill your purpose that God created you for. You've got angelic hosts, but if we're not doing anything, what are the angels waiting on? The angels going to just sit there. They were sent to minister to you. They were sent to minister to you. When you're out and you're away from the presence, and I know the presence of God goes with you wherever you go. Trust me, I know that. He's kept me many a time when I failed to do what I was supposed to do. But I'm talking about on a consistent lifestyle, trying to live our life, hidden Christ, abiding in Christ. Watching his angels give charge over us to keep us. Awesome. You don't have to fight. The storms can't turn us and cause us to be blown away. Because if we're not strong enough to stand, the angels will hold us in place. No, you don't think they really do that? Yeah, because I believe there are angels. Just like I believe there are demons and devils. That no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Build your life on the rock. Don't lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways. Spend time in quiet prayer with him. Spend time just sitting, just meditating on him. Spend time in the Word, studying it. See what God says about your life, how important you are to him. When the storms come, you never, never have to worry about it. You won't run around trying to figure out what to do because you just already heard what God told you to do. He instructs you what to do. He tells you what to do. Will other people listen? Not always. Paul was in the bottom of that ship. Before he got into the bottom of that ship and he was in that storm, guess what? He told them, don't go. Did they listen to him? No. But then what happened? An angel came to him in the midst of the storm. It looked like all was lost. They had put ropes around the ship to hold it together. The storm was so great, everybody figured they were dead. There was nothing that was going to deliver them. Days on top of days that ship was going. But God sent an angel to Paul and told Paul, just do what I tell you to do. Tell them not to let anybody leave the ship. Stay there. You'll be all right. God's going to get you out of this. Amen? So he told them. At least they were smart enough to listen then. We can tell you what not to do, but if you do it anyways, there's going to be storms of life coming your way. But if you spend time with God, you listen to what he's got to tell you. If need be, he'll even send an angel to help deliver you. But the idea is time with him, hearing what he has to say, and doing what he tells you to do. When you do those things, you will see that the storm can't move you. Some of you have been in storms for a long time. Doesn't change the fact. Doesn't change the fact. Repent, spend time with him, listen to what he's got to say, obey what he tells you to do, and watch the storm start moving away. What seems impossible with man is possible with God. There are storms coming, but if you build your life on the rock, you don't ever have to fear a storm. Matter of fact, the good news about the storm is you can see the goodness of God in the very middle of it. Doesn't mean the storm's going to stay away from you. Just means it can't affect your life. It can't change your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We give you praise for your word. Help us, Lord. Help us understand, as Hezekiah did, that when we do all that you command us to do, that we would, Father, see the goodness of God. Deliver us out of the battles of life, the storms that are coming our way. Even the storms that are coming, Father, you have told us that you would warn us of things to come. So, Lord, help us to spend time with you. It's our will and our desire for that, Lord, but our flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, Lord, so we depend upon your strength to keep us there. Holy Spirit, we ask you continue to work in us and on us, that we may have a closer walk with you, an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, and a heart to obey. We thank you, Father, for we know it's your work in us, not our work. It's you working in us, the will to do those things that please you. So we pray that you continue to work in us. We thank you as you continually bring us along. You know how fast we can go. You know how slow we can go, Lord. And you are a faithful God. So we thank you now, Father, as you continue to work in us until the day we stand there with you in heavenly places. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.